All right, today we're going to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to do a mini series, two messages, God willing, on the topic of sharing our testimonies. And as we'll see, our testimonies include our experience with God as believers, not just how we became a Christian. And these principles will also overlap with principles of evangelism in general. So our title for today's message is this: Sharing Our Testimonies with Christ-Centered Confidence. We're going to look at a theology of testimony and some principles about sharing our testimony, and also why we should have confidence about our testimonies. And let me say right off the bat that sometimes if we're a Christian, for those who maybe were just had an ordinary life, maybe were raised up in a Christian home and being part of a church, sometimes we may think our testimony, we may wish it was something different, to be honest. And we think, well, and then maybe there's some in our midst who have a radical testimony. And as we'll see today, that if we're a Christian, we have a testimony that's awesome, regardless of the circumstances surrounding it, including as in our walk with God. So we'll be looking at that today. We turn to 1 Timothy in chapter 1. This is one of what's known as the pastoral epistles. Paul is writing to a pastor named Timothy who's in the city of Ephesus. And he writes two letters that we have, 1 and 2 Timothy, and also he writes a letter to Titus, who's a pastor. And those three books are referred to as the pastoral epistles. And this was in the 60s A.D., and this is the first letter he's writing to Timothy to encourage him and guide him in pastoral ministry. And as he does so, he references some of the things that have happened in his life, as we'll see. So 1 Timothy in chapter 1, and for today we'll look at verses 12 through 17. Paul writes, "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we do praise you, the great God of the gospel. Jesus, we praise you for saving us, for being our shepherd that leads us and guides us and feeds us. We ask today you bless us as we think upon your word and on the whole concept of testimony, bearing witness to you and your gospel message and how you have transformed us. We ask, Father, that our confidence in Jesus and the gospel would grow, and that you would bless us with insights and passion to talk about you with lost people around us, and to do so in a way that includes what you've done in our lives and are doing today. Praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. First main point: embrace a Christian theology of testimony. If you've ever been in a courtroom, perhaps you've seen or were someone who had to give a testimony, you had to testify to something. Sometimes people will testify before Congress and so forth. As Christians, we are to testify to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim him as Lord. And that includes what Jesus has done for us personally, as we'll see. So, by way of introduction, I just want to kind of lay a couple of foundational points about a Christian theology of testimony. So here's the first one. Our testimony as the church, it is God's testimony about his Son and how he has transformed our lives, which would include as what he continues to do. And all this we're called to proclaim in the Spirit's power. It's Christ in us and our bearing witness to him. Notice Paul, again in verse 15, says that the same is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And this is our testimony as the church. John says in 1 John 4, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Let me also read from that next chapter, 1 John 5, and beginning in verse 9. John says the following: if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he is born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony to himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God is born concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Our testimony as the church collectively is God's testimony about his Son. He has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. Hallelujah. And you can see some examples of this. I'll just reference it. The opening verses in Romans 1. You see a very brief summary about the gospel centered around Jesus. We see this also in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, for what I am delivered to you as of the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to the 12 and then to Paul. Or in Colossians chapter 1, Paul gives that lofty theological explanation about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. And then he goes on and on. Our testimony as the church is proclaiming Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. All right. Now, with that basic foundation, let me address another key point: your individual testimony and mine. The church collectively proclaims the testimony that's God's testimony, which is his Son Jesus, and the gospel message that goes with that. But each one of us, if we're a Christian, we have a personal testimony that we can share. And it might be in little bits here and there in conversations. It might be on a Wednesday night at summer kickoff, as Clarence will be doing. It might be in different settings. There's multiple ways. Part of our evangelism, part of our sharing the gospel with people, includes sharing a testimony about how God has saved us and what he's done in our life as Christians, because that too bears witness in an evangelistic way to the lost. So we have a testimony as the church. We also have individual testimonies and so forth. And let me say, as I go through these points, and a lot of this comes from a handout I put together a while back that's very detailed, and I'll make available next Sunday. I think I've given it out to the church, and I'm sure you've all read every word of it. But just in case not, I thought I would preach some of this. Besides, sometimes it's good to hear it verbally, and it helps sink home. What we're covering today and next Sunday is not everything about testimony or evangelism. It's just some things. Also, let me say that we're going to look at a lot of key points. Probably never, when you share your testimony, will you cover everything that's being covered today and next Sunday. It's too much. But what we can do is just kind of go through these principles, if they're helpful, have them fresh in our minds, and think about whether it's a spontaneous opportunity or something we know is coming up, to think through these principles to help us always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have when we're asked, and whether we have time to prepare or not. So let me just say, as we go through all this, what I'm not saying is every time we share our testimony, we need to cover all these points. That's not the point. We want to address specific situations and so forth. So a couple things here about your individual testimony and mine. First, individual testimonies should be personal. Let me start with the obvious. Jesus saves is God is calling out a people for his name. And those people are made up of individuals who know Jesus personally and have been saved individually. Our life, and this includes our life experiences, our feelings, and so forth. What God has done in us, for us, and through us. Our testimony as the church is proclaiming Jesus, his gospel message. But it includes how Jesus has and is personally transforming us. Notice again what Paul says in verse 16, back in 1 Timothy 1. He says, "But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." So in other words, Paul's saying that as people would look at his life and how Jesus changed him, that would be a gospel witness to them. And the same is true for you and me. By God's grace, as we put our faith in Jesus and follow him, our life is a testimony bearing witness to the gospel. I'll give some more examples of that as we move through, but just kind of laying a foundation here. So testimony, individual testimonies, they should be personal. Also, individual testimonies should be Trinitarian. They should point to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And again, it may not be every time you share your testimony in every conversation, but to be thinking about, as I speak about the gospel, as I share my own testimony, do I reference the Father as well as the Son, and do I ever talk about the Holy Spirit? Our testimony should be God-glorifying. We'll talk about ourselves, but it should be in a way where we give God the glory. They should be Christ-centered, more about him than me. And they should be Spirit-empowered. For some people, some of this may come more naturally than others. For some of us, we may have to work at it. But our testimony should be Trinitarian. They should point to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Also, individual testimony should be ecclesiological. That's a theological word meaning they should include or be about the church. When we're sharing our testimony, we're talking about what God has done, how he saved us, and what he's doing in our lives. But that should include what role the church has had. Because God uses the church, universal, and the local church, to witness to people. And as we put our faith in Jesus, we are adopted into the family of God. So our testimony includes not only that we now have a relationship with Jesus and we're following him, it also includes the fact that we're now part of a new family, the family of God. One other introductory point. Individual testimonies should engage the culture. We should pick and choose what's emphasized based on who we're talking to, what the situation is, and so forth. And this does take some work and preparation. And some of the practical steps I'll address next Sunday, but let me say, if you've never kind of worked out your testimony before, it's a good thing to do. And if you have, it's also a good thing to do to kind of have different things that you can emphasize or share. And also, testimonies need to be updated if you're still here on earth because God has done new things in your life and you've had new experiences by faith. And all of that's included in our testimony. So working at our testimonies, taking time to put it together about how I became a Christian, how God has worked in my life, how I'm following Jesus by faith, and so forth. It's good to be ready to be able to share those things spontaneously in a conversation, or if you're asked to speak in a certain setting and so forth. And if we've done some work ahead of time, it can be less stressful or more enjoyable. And again, for some people, talking or whatever, some people got the gift of gab, man. They can just run off at the mouth about anything, and that includes Jesus. Other people, it may take a little more work. And if you're someone who might be a little more timid or shy, that's fine. It can even be good. Some people might be more intrigued by your reservedness or whatever, and less intimidated by some people who have a dominant charismatic personality that can turn some people off if it's too strong. Thank God for the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Let me also say before we move on to the second main point. The most radical part of our testimony of anyone's testimony. Is not what we've been saved from or what we've done by faith as important as those things are. The most radical part of our testimony is the awesomeness of the one who saved us. So if you're someone who feels like, you know what, I just don't have much of a testimony. I was raised to be part of the church, raised in a Christian home. I kind of came to Jesus just growing up, and I just sometimes feel blah about it. Well, if you're following Jesus, he's not blah. He's actually awesome. Now, at any given point, many people in the world may not be intrigued with Jesus. But the most awesome thing about our testimonies is the one who saved us. Now, if you're like me, I love to hear a testimony about someone who was radically changed in coming to Christ. And or someone who, in their Christian life, has followed God by faith, stepped out in faith, and experienced some supernatural stuff or some dangerous things, or God used them in awesome ways. That's very encouraging. But a lot of the Christian life is following God in the ordinary, mundane things of life, finding joy in that, and as we do that, bearing witness to those around us, where we're faithful in the long haul. And our little church has multiple people like that. Our little church also has people who've had some radical things in coming to Christ or in following him. And thank God for it all. But I just want to encourage us with that word. The most radical thing about our testimony is the awesomeness of the one who saved us. So if you're a Christian, you have something radical to share with people. His name is Jesus. Main point number two. Emphasize your experience with Christ. As we share who God is and what God's done in our life, we want to share our experience with Jesus and so forth, in coming to him and in following him by faith and so forth. And different people's life experiences, different people's testimony will speak to different people. Again, that's why we need the body of Christ. It's similar to we need the body of Christ to minister to one another. That also works evangelistically. Some of us will be better at having a gospel witness to other people than others. God uses the body. A few thoughts here about emphasizing your experience with Christ. First, share personal life experiences. Paul does this. If you read in Acts chapter 26, we get one of the longer examples of Paul sharing his testimony. And many times it's when he's on trial or he's in trouble. We get a few examples of it in Scripture. In Acts 26, it's one of the longer ones. And it's powerful. Paul does this. Share personal life experiences. And a few things that go with that. One is share how you became a Christian. Perhaps here I'm stating the obvious. And a lot of times when we think about testimony, this is the first thing that comes to mind, and amen to it. How did you become a Christian? Include some circumstances involved. What was going on in your heart and your mind? Were you taught the scriptures ahead of time? How was God's gracious work at work in your life? In my own conversion, when I became a Christian, just as I was about to turn 16 years old, I was invited to a youth group. I've been raised in a loving family, been taught, gone to Sunday school, knew the basics about the Christian faith. And in my opinion, looking back on it, God set me up for that in the spring of 1986 when I started going to this youth group and the gospel began to make sense to me and Jesus became real. Share how you became a Christian. Here's another thing. Share your journey through the trials in life. Part of our testimony is how we followed God by faith, by his grace, through trials in life. That speaks to people when they see the faithfulness of Christians persevering through tough things. And share it. And we want to do it in a way, again, where God's getting the glory. And we want to be careful not to unnecessarily talk bad about other people. Although sometimes that will be part of our testimony. If we've had a really bad experience because of how someone treated us, we want to do it in an appropriate way and so forth. But we want to share our journeys through the trials of life. It's good not to overemphasize if we've been discriminated against or to complain louder than our witness. But again, the suffering we've experienced in life, we want to cover that. With that, speak to your audience. Think about whether it's a personal conversation, if it's in a group setting. Think to yourself, okay, who am I speaking to? What part of my life, whether past or present, might best address this group or this person? If it's in a one-on-one conversation or in a group, be a good listener. Hear people. And so forth. We'll talk about some of those principles next Sunday. But speak to your audience. Think about who you're talking to, what would best address them. And we want to avoid using too much religious lingo or theological words, or if we do, then define what they mean. And sometimes we find that out as we're talking, and I have trouble with this one. Even as I have that in my mind, I have to work at it. Another thing, emphasize God's love for all people. If we're faithfully sharing the gospel and pointing people to Jesus, that's going to include things that are going to confront people and they're going to get offended by. But it's helpful to also, as we do that, let them know if they're a person, not only were they created, but they are created in the image of God. They're unique, they're beautiful. Sin has corrupted every aspect of our being, but nevertheless we're created in His image and He loves us. But we're also sinners. And we should define sin. And there's different ways to do that. Sin is like a spiritual disease. It's like a cancer that spreads throughout us. Sin is our pride and our unbelief, our lust and our jealousy, our idolatry, loving things more than God. Sin is, we can even be sinning when we're, quote, doing the right thing, but it's not by faith. Paul says in Romans 14, everything that does not come from faith is sin. Because now we're leaning on our own understanding or in our own strength or going our own way, even if we're doing things morally right and so forth. One other thing on this. Share Scripture and trust the gospel. When we're sharing our testimony, and this would be true for evangelism as well, but if you have an opportunity, whether it's in a conversation or if you're giving your testimony, share a scripture or maybe a brief passage. Make sure you're quoting it in context, but there's power in the Word of God. And as we share a verse or a passage, and as we share the gospel message, know that there's power there. One of the most well-known verses is Romans 1. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto the salvation of everyone who believes. Here's part of the reason we can have a Christ-centered confidence in sharing our testimony. One, we're talking about Jesus. And also, two, if we're doing it in a Christ-centered way, which will include the gospel message and sharing Scripture, there is power there. Now, it's dependent upon the Spirit working on the people we're talking to at any given time. And we can't control that. That's God, and it's also up to the receptivity of the people that we're speaking to. In my own life, I don't know why, but God in His sovereign grace chose when I was about almost 16 years old, and I heard the gospel message, and at a basic level, I'd heard it before. But all of a sudden, it was like my eyes opened up. My heart was I got goosebumps. And Jesus became real. And I wasn't doing anything different than the rest of my 15 years of life. But there's power. And at that Bible study, as I heard the Word of God, the Spirit came over me. And praise God that it did. So, share personal life experiences. Here's another thing. share how your life is different. Part of our testimony is sharing the difference that Jesus makes. And let me say, for those who maybe have been raised in a Christian home, it may not be how much different your life is now than before you became a Christian, as much as it is how different your life is now because you're following Christ in comparison to if you were not. And sometimes we have to think through that, but I'll give a few examples. Share how your life is different. One example is through your purpose and joy that you have because you know Jesus. As Christians, we've experienced forgiveness. We have the power to forgive people. We know that our shame and our guilt, even though we still experience those feelings, is taken away. We have courage and power and hope to face the challenges of life. And we have a meaning in life and a purpose in life that we can't have outside of Christ. Also, share how your life is different through your faith and confidence. Knowing, as a Christian, we know that God is sovereign over us. And we put our trust in Him. So if there's a change coming in my life, or something bad has happened in my life, or I'm afraid about the future, or whatever it might be, I can have a sense of peace amidst those fears because I know the living God, that He's sovereign, and that if I love Him, He's working all things for my good because He loves me. Hallelujah. Also, we can share how our life is different through being a new creation in Christ. God gives us a new heart. He wipes our slate of our evil and our sin clean. He forgives us on a daily basis. We're adopted into God's family. We have new motivations in life, new passions in life. God gives us a love to love Him, a love to love people, a love for our neighbors that maybe we never had before, a love for our enemies. He changes us. I grew up in a small farm town. I loved my childhood, loving family, and overall, I had a really good, at a basic level, I had a really good kid life, childhood. And some of the things that God has taken my wife and I through, and then with our kids, has been awesome, but I wouldn't have chose it. Definitely not before I became a Christian, even when I first became a Christian. And these different things that we go through, as we go through those different life experiences, you feel God opening up your heart. And sometimes He'll take you and put you in a position where maybe it wasn't what you chose, and maybe He won't leave you there, but He's just wanting to work on your heart and open you up to follow Him in whatever He would call you to do. So we emphasize our experience with Jesus. Last main point, number 3. Emphasize God's sovereignty and His glory. And I'll say this two ways. Here's one. Know that your testimony started with God, not yourself. And tell this to others. Chronologically speaking and theologically speaking, our testimonies start with God. Who God is and what God did before they start with me. Now, if we're first, when we first become a Christian or whatever, sometimes we may not see it this way, but the more we mature in Christ and can look back on our life, the more we see the sovereign hand of God upon us. So even if you were someone who was diligently seeking God or seeking the truth, it begs the question, why were you doing that to begin with? You're a lost sinner who's rebellious and, spiritually speaking, who's dead. Why were you doing that? Because God was awakening you and drawing you to Himself, and so forth. Our God is a God who is actively, He's the shepherd who goes out after the one sheep that's gone astray. He's the God who chose us in Christ. He's the God who set His loving affection upon us. He's the God who loved us while we were still sinners, and Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Our testimonies begin with God. who he is and what he was doing in our lives before we ever became a Christian. That doesn't mean that if you're sharing your testimony, you should start off by talking about God. You might, or you might be in a setting where it would be more engaging to share something in your life that you went through, and then eventually you're going to bring Christ into what you're saying. If you look in Acts chapter 26, in Paul's testimony there, he doesn't start off talking about God. He starts off talking about himself. But as he does so, he begins then to share how God sovereignly interrupted his life and so forth. So again, you can look at that in Acts chapter 26. But, I just look at, again, in my own life. I was raised in a loving home, and to be part of Sunday school and a church, I didn't choose that. God set me in a situation where that was there. Then I was invited to go to a youth group where the gospel became real. My friend John invited me to go, and I didn't want to go, but I went kind of because I felt pressured. And then as I was involved in the youth group, I developed a heart for ministry. But and I think God was preparing me to become a pastor, but at that point, I was kind of young and naive, and that was kind of on the back burner. I just wanted to go on and take on the world, and didn't realize how much I still had to learn, and still see that today. Even us coming here to Round Lake at Lake Region Bible Church, God sovereignly worked through that. And here's a testimony to God's grace. Back in our Plano days, in the late 90s and up into 2002, we were in a church that was smaller than this. It was a tough going situation. The people loved us, but my wife and I were down and out, to say the least. And I went, and I had a Christian professor that I knew from when we had been at Wheaton named Dwayne Elmer, and I called him up, kind of explained our situation, and I went to him to get counseling, basically. And we met, and I poured out my heart. Now, unbeknownst to me, after our phone call, but before we met, he called up his brother-in-law, who was an elder at an evangelical free church up in Wisconsin, and gave him my name. Which I'm thinking, after what I shared with you, you were recommending me. But he was much more mature than I was. He'd been around a lot longer, and he wasn't really shocked by anything I was saying. So my name was thrown in the free church world. I was referred to this church in Wisconsin, which, wow, I could have ended up living in Wisconsin. That could be tough. But that church didn't pursue us. We never got contacted or anything. But because of that referral, my name was thrown in the free church world. And in the summer of 2002, we had gone on a little family vacation, actually to the beach house at my wife and girls and some friends are at right now. We had come back, and then we were, I think, going to my parents, so we just had a short stay at our house, and we had answering machines in those days, and I hit play, and there was this message from Clarence Williams, and I'm like, and Lake Region Bible Church, I'm like, I didn't apply there. And then at the very end of the message, he said, an evangelical free church, and I thought, oh, okay. But, you know, all of that, humanly speaking, came about because I wanted to get some counseling from a Christian professor because I'm like, I'm not sure I'm cut out for this pastoral stuff. 14 years later, by God's grace, we're still here, for better or worse. But God is sovereign. He's good. He works through our weaknesses, through our strengths. Let's give him praise. That can be part of our testimony and so forth. One last thing. Share how God drew you to himself. As your testimony is one way to worship God and give him the glory. Back in 1 Timothy 1, Paul says in verse 14, how the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul was very much aware of God's work in his life, and his testimony is an obvious one. I mean, the Apostle Paul, before he was an apostle, as most of you know, was persecuting Christians, having them put to death. And he's on the road to Damascus to keep doing that, and Jesus interrupts his life. and appears to him in a blinding light. And Paul has a life-transforming experience, which included his call to be an apostle. But whether we have a dramatic experience like that or not, God's grace overflows in our lives, and he's drawing us to himself. Jesus says in John 6, verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." And he says in Matthew 11, "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And as God draws you to himself, then it's up to the individual. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to put your faith in Jesus, or are you going to continue on your stubborn way? But part of our testimony should include the sovereignty of God. That he's a God who is reaching out into the lives of people and drawing them to himself. It's not just that he's a God of love and he holds out this gospel message, but the Spirit is actively working in people's lives, softening their hearts, opening their eyes, opening their ears, and putting people in circumstances to set it up so they'll hear the gospel and be willing to believe and receive. So as we share our testimonies, let's look for opportunities where we can not only talk about how I found Jesus, but how God found me. And as we do that, whether it's in a personal, spontaneous conversation, whether it's in a situation where you're asked to formally share your testimony, or whatever, think about, as you're sharing your testimony, it's one way to worship God. You're giving him praise as you do so. And it's a way to give him the glory. And there's really nothing better than that. Let's pray.